Hello and welcome to each one of you on this, the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Can you believe that we're nearly a third of the way through Trinity Sundays already? It'll be Christmas soon. So welcome to St. Martin's Church, North Nibley, to this service of the Word. The Lord be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus said, "Before you offer your gift, go and be reconciled." As brothers and sisters in God's family, we come together to ask our Father for forgiveness. So together we pray, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. The collect, that special prayer written for today, the seventh Sunday of Trinity. Lord of all power and might, who art the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness. And of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, the first reading is from Romans chapter 8. And I will actually be doing my sermon on the reading a couple of weeks ago, which was Romans chapter 7, not because I'm lazy and I didn't want to write one, but I actually thought that it was quite good and it did actually resonate with a lot of people in Wootton, and it's really closely related to chapter 8, which we're going to hear from today. It's a bit like the before and after. So you'll see as we go through the service. So this is the reading for today. Romans chapter 8, verses 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you would die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the children was subjected to frustration, not by its, sorry, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of God. Amen. The second reading, the Gospel, is Matthew 24, beginning at verse 13. Jesus told them, that's his disciples, another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and then tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." He then left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Picture the scene. You turn up at the preschool door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to pick up your grandchild, only to be met by one of the teachers who says, "We had a bit of an issue today, didn't we? We bit Charlene, didn't we?" Silence from both you and the child. Back in the car, you inquire in your most understanding voice, "Why did you bite Charlene?" Silence. You try again and get the answer. "I don't know." One of my father's most common phrases in that situation was, "What do you mean you don't know?" "I don't know." If we are honest about ourselves, there are countless times when we have done, said or thought something wrong, but have absolutely no idea why we did it. It is a thought. We have split personality. We promote this kind, goodly, even godly persona to others, whilst inside we hide this quagmire of badness It's a continual inner war that we fight with ourselves. Paul, in chapter 7, put it like this. I want to do good, but I don't do it. And the thing I don't want to do, I do anyway. So, going from that, knowledge won't save anyone. We know what we should be saying, doing and thinking, but we do the opposite. None of us are as good as we make out to ourselves or others. Paul goes on in chapter 7, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. And it's often said that the closer that we become to God, the less we will sin and the more of a sinner we will realise ourselves to be. I look back at much of my life in horror, but I don't seem to have learnt much. We have to face the reality of Romans chapter 7 in order to arrive at Romans chapter 8, which we heard from today, where we are given a glimpse of redemption and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I smoked for years in the army, this is what you did in the 1970s, years and years, knowing that it'd kill me. I had a brief respite from smoking when I eventually had a dose of cancer, but then something happened. I think our dad had a stroke and I went back to it until a few years ago when I stopped again. Alcoholics go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and every time that they speak, they introduce themselves in a set way. Hello, I'm Fred and I'm an alcoholic. Some of these people have been dry for years, but are still alcoholics. They now abstain from drinking, like I do from smoking, only with constant effort, and part of that effort is in admitting that you've got a problem in the first place. But if you keep failing, keep trying. Paul used the term in chapter 7, waging with war. Despite all NATO military being required to sign the Geneva Convention of Human Rights in wartime, and they sign that in peacetime, but it's called the Convention of Human Rights in wartime, believe me when I tell you that war knows no moral bounds. War is horrible, and so is the internal struggle that we go through day by day with sin. It helps to remember that Paul himself struggled, and he was one of the most godly people you could think of. The real battle for us in life is not the battle on the outside. He struggled bravely in his battle against his illness or whatever. No, the real struggle that each one of us undergoes is on the inside, where nobody but God and us sees it. That battle goes on particularly every Sunday morning. We're a good-looking congregation. We look nice in church. We're cleaned up. We're dressed up. But behind every smiling face is a story of struggle, heartache, despair, defeat, victory, cowardice, bravery, fear and courage, all mixed up together. Though we look very good when we come to church, in truth, if we could see our souls, it would be more appropriate to picture us as a group of soldiers staggering out of the jungle of Guadalcanal, where the first major Allied land offensive against the Empire of Japan was fought across suffocating jungles and the surrounding treacherous waters. That's what life is like. Some of us barely make it to church because it's been a difficult week. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, and in every way, we've struggled through the last 7 days. But you know what? That's okay. It's a struggle to come to church and admit the truth. We'd all rather think, I look good, you look good, so I don't have any problems and you don't have any problems. But the truth of the matter is that healing cannot begin until we can say, there is a battle inside of me. I'm really struggling and I can barely make it. Luckily, Romans chapter 8 gives us a solution to our problems. The solution is honesty, humility, and complete dependence on Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us affirm together our common faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God, the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the Church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are the body of Christ. By one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. And so we offer each other a sign of peace. And we come to our time of intercessions, where we pray for those things for the world that we need help with. And quite rightly, we should hand everything over to God in prayer. Almighty God, as a church, we daily pray that your kingdom come. But most of the time, we so often live in ways that prevent its coming. We spend too much of our time trying to build our own human kingdom, putting ourselves rather than you at the centre of our lives. Send your Spirit to remind us that you are the first, and others are the second, and we are third. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for your Church, especially in our benefice as we enter the vacancy. We pray for the clergy, the lay people who take services, the congregations, the church wardens and officials, and all those who served on the PCCs. Thank you too for those who provide music, hospitality, cleaning, and flowers, along with those who assist serving by reading and praying. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we thank you for the example of leadership given to us by your Son, Jesus Christ, in his life here on earth. We pray for the renewal of a spirit of humility and a sense of responsibility among leaders of this world, that the wars might stop, the hungry might be fed, the oppressed might be free to live in peace. We pray particularly this week for our own country as we change our Prime Minister under very unusual circumstances, without election. And we pray also for all our MPs and people who work at Westminster who are worried about their own safety after the murder of Anne Widdecombe. And of course we pray for Anne's family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we worship you as the one who has given us this life. And we ask that you will help us to live it to the full. At home, may we be the friends and neighbours that we really want to be. Help us to spread the warmth of your love to everyone we meet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, we thank you for your love and compassion for all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. We pray that your healing presence will calm their fears, ease their pain, and bring light into the darkness of all who are sick. We ask that you be with us and all who need your loving touch at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, through the ministry of your Son Jesus Christ, you have freed us from the grip of the tomb. We pray for those who have departed this life and ask you, through your loving kindness, to have mercy on their souls. We pray too for those bereaved by their passing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, hear these prayers we offer you in his name. By the power of your Holy Spirit, work within us and among us to bring your kingdom into this world. Let your will be done so that all people may live only for your praise and glory. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So at the end of this week, beginning of a new week, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and those that you love this day and forever. Amen. Thank you for sharing this service with me. I can't remember the rotary, so I don't know when I'm back, but I mean, rest assured, I won't be idle. I will be somewhere doing something. But have a lovely week and enjoy the weather while we've still got it. Because remember, Christmas is around the corner. Bye bye.